her.
This is planning. People appreciate good planning. Proper planning prevents poor performance. Look, she did. See? That's
you
what I'm saying.
Don't know what
well,
she's doing.
Right. She could have just been go to file taxes.
She's Welcome a mother.
To the Backpack Show.
There could be anything going on back there.
Shenanigans. Hijinks.
Welcome to the Shakira. Backpack Show, where we bring you insights about success from unusual places.
Oh, that's true. Hey, last week we had chickens. You could rent some chickens. We've upped our game this week.
Well, that's debatable. I think the chicken people would take some offense.
No, they were swell. We liked them. but we have Kim and Matt Gabika, sorry, with a G.
Gabika, yes.
Gabika. Who
Owners of We goats. Rent Goats. Yeah. It's brilliant branding. It is exactly what you think it is. Probably. Mostly.
Right.
I mean, yes, you get goats, but we'll talk about, it's not like for birthday parties and things. It's serious business, and we'll talk about it.
They're business goats.
Yes.
And we also have our guest, Amber Rose, who is the owner of
Facial Lounge.
Lounge.
Vegan organic skincare. She's a mompreneur. Right. I'm really excited.
So that's what we got going on today. And we have, as always, a little bit of cryptocurrency to throw at you if you give us your names
backpack
and your accounts.
Coin.
That thing, backpack coins.
Welcome to the Backpack Show with your hosts, Chris Brogan and Carrie Gargone. Boom shakalaka.
I just realized nobody tells Sir Mix-a-Lot we took him out of our intro.
Nancy Ramsey.
Hey, Nancy.
Well, we have different versions, darling.
Oh.
He's definitely okay. In one.
I mean, I can start the show again with a different version. You just say the word.
We're just pick one per night and we'll be fine.
Oh, okay.
So we want to give some people our backpack coin, and the password for today is goats. So if you email Carrie at chrisbrogan.com and say goats
and tell and me what, give us your rally, account ID.
Yep. Then I will send you some backpack coin, which is money. So you will want it.
Where it's almost, it's nearly
it,
money.
You can use it for fun things like hanging out with us backstage. Believe me, that is an experience you want to have.
Oh, so. My gosh. If you had the chance to be backstage today, the things you would have seen, the things you would have heard.
Hey, Nancy, where are you? I felt like Nancy was far away, like maybe in a bad time zone for watching. So thank you.
Yeah, it's like 2 a.m. or something. Nancy's up like a little past her bedtime.
Or a lot past her bedtime.
Go to rally.io, R-A-L-L-Y.io to get an account made. It's free. And then you have the chance to pick up some backpack coins. But then Yay. If you get something nifty, like just tell Carrie that you were on the show and know the password, which is goats. Then you get some coins. I'll say, I think we did the thing. All right, let's grab Kim and Matt Gabika and let's talk a little bit about goat rental. Can you have them do lots of different things, or is it really just eat grass? Like, can you rent the goats?
They don't eat grass. They eat weeds and stuff.
Whatever they eat. I bet they eat grass. Let's start there. Do they eat grass or just weeds?
So grass is actually one of their least favorite things. So they kind of have a triangular shaped mouth, and goats are like 80% forage, 20% graze, and cows are like 80% graze, 20% forage. So things like forbs, brush, that kind of stuff is really what a goat prefers, mm-hmm. Which makes them really good for what we do with them, which is brush clearing and land management.
But that's what they do. They don't do other stuff. What were you thinking, Chris? What do you want them to do?
Oh, we can also
paint walls. I don't know.
Paint walls.
Things they could do. Maybe
take out the trash.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. What if you had like, you know, trash? There's all that joke that they eat like metal and stuff like that. I don't think that's really
as true. Petting zoos, promposals. Like, will you go to prom with me? We get asked that a lot.
But you don't do that.
And no, we don't do that. In our neighboring state of Oregon, there's a fairly high-end golf resort that uses goats that are trained to be caddies. So they strap a bag of clubs to the goat.
They have a special caddy bag that they use, and you can feed them peanuts, and just they walk with you on the golf course.
So your goats are lazy. They just want to eat. You need to train your goats.
Man, I'm not having any luck with a lot of your pictures, but I will imagine that there are pictures of goats there somewhere. Okay.
We're in the middle of a website overhaul. Some online pharmacy. So I'm actually the lagging point right now.
You do have goats to hand.
He's got it all ginned up in the background. He just needs some data from me. But yeah, in the next couple of days we'll have it up.
Got it.
Oh, wow. It is very late there, Nancy. Oh, well, thanks for joining us. Nancy. Hey, so you actually have goats you can show us later. Box of goats. Come drag one in. Yeah, just drag them in. What's the problem?
We'll probably take you to the goats.
That makes sense. Now that you say it. But I mean,
how where was the...
They're not potty trained.
How did you get into the goat business? How did this happen?
It's a weird story, it feels like.
You love weird stories. The backpack show.
Well, we back when we were dating, we went to one of the state fairs, and you know, they've got the little petting zoos and everything, and I was like, oh my gosh, look at these goats, they're so cute, like I would love to have some goats someday. And my husband over here,
I disagree with this part of the story.
Yes, how does this happen? But he said, we'll never own goats. And I was like, all right, we'll never own goats, that's not a big deal, I don't know any different. So I think it was what, later that next spring, he's supposed to be building me a chicken coop for our, we have some like chickens that are just running wild on the property at this point. And,
laying eggs anywhere they want. So we thought we'd kind of corral them.
Next thing I know, he's like, hey, there's a small animal sale in town today at the livestock yard. And I'm like, what does one buy at a small animal sale? And he's like, well, they sell sheep, goats, or pigs. And I'm like, okay, well, you said we never own goats, that you're really not a huge fan of sheep, and you showed pigs in 4-H, and you don't want to own those anymore. So why are we going? And we came up with four goats at that point.
Well, I guess
four
we know who wears
the back of Kia Sorento, yes. No less.
You know, so. Where's the pants in that family? So you were, like, not prepared.
No.
It was all tarped, you know, like we had some protection in the car, but yeah, and two of those were ones that needed to be bottle fed still.
5 times a day.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And he got sent to Texas for 2 months, and so I was left to take care of these four goats that I had no idea what I was doing. But I kept them alive. We were good.
And 2 months later, she still let me in the house. We still own four goats. And we just kind of kept adding to them after that. And then at a certain point, I decided to step away from the full-time version of my, you know, normal job, office job. And we bought this business actually from a couple. And we'd grown our herd. And then we started talking to them. And they're like, you know what? We're kind of ready to. And so they helped us, you know, get our foot in the door with it and sell us the business, sell us the brand, the website, all that, and some of the existing contracts and get us on our way. And yeah.
I have to know what your last day at work was like. Were they like, you're going to what? Cool.
Oh yeah.
He'll be back.
I still do it in a part-time capacity. And they're like, so you walked away from an office job that, like, you know, steady first and 15 paycheck, good money. And you work outside, like today it's 90 and I've been out building fence all day in the heat, you know? So yeah, it's a definitely a different job, but we initially got into goats cause we're like, you know, she's in banking, regional manager. And so she, you know, has a lot of mental, fatigue from her job, and I had a lot of mental fatigue from my job, but we both sit inside offices, or did, and we realized, like, we're never physically tired, and so we went from one end of the spectrum to the complete opposite, and we work way too many hours now, and managing 700 goats is not child's play by any stretch.
700 goats.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, that seems like a lot of, like, how many goats are you renting at any given time? That seems like a lot of inventory.
Yeah.
All of them. Yeah.
They stay busy all year long.
Yeah, until 2 years ago, we actually lived in town. We're literally always on grazing contracts. So
wow.
Yeah.
Do they eat bugs too, right? Like they eat, you know, pests off of people's plants. I feel like Joel Saladin had that going. Maybe that's chickens as well.
That would probably be more chickens.
Do more things.
What?
As I wanted to do more things.
Joel Saladin on the show?
No, but we read the thing, and the chicken people know him. They're pals with the chicken people.
The chicken people.
Yeah.
Jen and Phil.
Yeah, who rent chickens. I don't know.
Okay.
Rent the chicken.
700 goats equals one Chris, like wrangling wise, I think is what Jane is saying, possibly.
Janice had a question. Kevin Bacon does TikToks singing to his goats. Do y'all still sing to yours?
No.
That's not something we have tried.
Cat says good call
with
goats.
We heard every day, but we don't sing to them.
Cat says sheep are poo heads, and so you made a better choice with goats. Yeah. Amber says there's a lot of these in Seattle, and she loves seeing the goats.
There are Healing Booths, and there's a couple companies up in Seattle that do it.
She said they're doing great work. And Kate said, that's a whole lot of goats. How many doors the average person business rent?
I think it was
I think she means how many goats. Yeah, it does like the average person.
Yeah, so it's one herd at a time. So people ask, like, you know, if they rent more goats or less goats, is it a different price? So really what we're doing is managing property with them and reducing a lot of fine fuels for fire. Here in the Pacific Northwest, wildland fires are a pretty big deal, right? And so even if you don't do your entire property, if you do the downhill slope, you know, 100 yard per berm or something like that perimeter to get you some safe standoff. So we just drop off a herd at a time though. So we break them into four herds the second week of March. The third week of March, we start having babies. And then, so they're in four groups right now. The group that they have babies with, they stay together until weaning in late July. And then from then we separate the babies off from the moms and make different herds. Yeah. But we don't split up herds. So we have between 150 and close to 200, depending on the herd and what the ages are, all the animals in there. And that's one trailer load. They get dropped off all together. They leave all together. So
150-ish goats descend on a property, eat all the bush, but not the grass because that's gross. And then they lower on their property. Poop all over the place and then get back in the trailer and go?
Yeah, and the nice thing about goat poop, it's like pellets versus cow pies and stuff. So it's more like deer and elk. And so it's very low moisture, and they do a pretty good job of spreading it out. Since we don't feed them anything, additional, it doesn't concentrate any of their manure. And then on larger jobs, we take the time to build, like, it takes us more time to do more fencing, but we'll break it up into smaller paddocks. So that way we don't get a concentration of manure and urine. And, you know, really when we show up with, it's normally closer to 180 goats is our average. A couple of years ago, we ran a herd of 212, just the way the kittings worked out and stuff like that. And, but so when we come through an area, we come in, we get the job done, and we're normally gone in, you know, 5 days or less. So there's not a time for smell or flies or anything else to build up. So it's high intensity, very short duration.
Now I ask you backpackers, what other business show are you going to learn about goat manure on? I think really? None. Kate wants to know how much per goat, and also isn't goats and yoga a thing?
Not for us.
Yeah.
But it is relaxing going out and doing them. Like I was just spending some time in the field today with two of the herds, building some extensions for them. And I just catch myself just staring at them and enjoying nature. And they're very playful right now. So the babies are about a month old, just over a month old. And they have pretty much all figured out how to jump directly on their mom's back. For a while, they start by when mom grazes and she has her head down, they'll try running up her neck and getting on her back. And then now they can just pretty much springboard straight from the ground up onto their back. And they'll sit there and do circles and lay down. And the mom just deals with it. So,
wow. Not this mom. I'd be like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Hey, coach. The I have so many questions. You said like 170, 180 goats. What are y'all with a clipboard there? Like how do you know how many you got in and out? How do you know you didn't leave a man behind?
Well, so we count them in, we count them out of the trailer and
by hand.
Huh?
But like by hand, one potato, two potatoes, three. Like aren't they going
counting
around?
Threes
and stuff?
Actually is the fastest. If okay. you try to count by one, you trip over your tongue even internally. But yeah, okay. Count by groups of threes is normally the easiest. Mm-hmm. And then we have RFID tags in all of the adults. So we keep pretty good records. Mm-hmm. And moms and babies, like I said, everyone that has their baby, so kidding is what having a baby goat is called. So they kid out together and then they stay together. So that herd integrity, like they want to be part of a herd. Okay. They are not a solitary animal by any stretch of the imagination. And so
I like that. Kidding.
They either all get out, like by the first couple loads suck. They're absolutely terrible. The babies are running every which way.
They have no clue what's happening.
Don't know what's going on. But we have double deck trailers. They're basically small semi trailers. You can pull them with a small semi or a big pickup. And so including moving the ramp from the lower deck to the upper deck, we can put 180 plus goats on a trailer in about 17 minutes. So when we show up with the big silver thing, the goats know, hey, I get on that. I'm out of food here. I get on that thing. I get a new smorgasbord. So half the time, at least, or more, we don't even bring our livestock, working dogs or Kelpies to help us gather them. The goats pretty much just get on the trailer by themselves.
Because they know there's food.
Yeah.
So do you like make them extra hungry before you go or something?
Nope.
Like,
nope.
Cool. Because I was going to say, that'd be mean.
What you say, they move on average 30 to 40 times a year. Yeah. So they're just used to it. They know the routine, and we do our best to keep it low stress and a positive experience for them. So.
Do you ever let them sleep in your bed?
No, I have a California King, but it's not big enough for any goats. I have slept in the barn with goats if they're sick or we need to pay extra attention to them, but none of them, I can't say that they've never been in the house. There's our mudroom up front that, you know, if it's especially cold.
The occasional baby in a laundry basket.
Yeah, something, but not in the bed.
Elizabeth wants to know, do you keep records. Yeah, reason.
Yes. Record keeping is a huge, huge important thing. That
you're like, that goat is promiscuous. Look at this record.
Yeah, it's and just trying to figure out, you know, matching up who belongs to who as far as, you know, mothering and, you know, did she have triplets last year and just one single this year, or, you know, how much has she produced for us in the past, or, you know, making sure that we know who the father is so we don't keep that.
Do they parent?
They don't end up on Maury.
Do they parent in that sort of it takes a village way? Because when you're saying we're not too sure who the mother is, any old, you know, mom.
We know who the moms are.
Yeah, we know who the mom are, but they trade babies sometimes. Okay. And so
that's an option?
Great. Yeah, wow. Apparently. I like it's your just kidding. I have that one.
I love my babies. I'm kidding.
Yeah, during kidding, she actually takes 2 weeks off from her banker job because we know exactly when they're going to start having babies. We shoot for 95% of the kids born in 3 weeks. I think this year we exceeded that. So we had 390 kids born in less than a month. Mm-hmm. So they come pretty fast. But she's got a really good record keeping system. And so we pretty much spend all day from, you know, dawn to dusk out there. And when a mom has the babies, you know, we make sure everything's going good. We had one assist this year and one mild assist. So for 390 babies to be born, we have really good genetics, moms that can, you know, do it on their own, and part of that is management and genetics, but it's also not overfeeding them, feeding them a more nutrient dense food and a very good vitamin mineral pack so that they can kid on their own, because it's very hard on an animal if you have to assist in a birth on both the one being born and the mom. But yeah, so they get them born, they get them dried off and up in nursing, and then from a management perspective, because of the type of feed we have most of our goats eating most of the year, which is not really high in nutrition, except for during kidding windows, then we pull a third. If there's any triplets, we pull a third, or we had one set of quadruplets this year, so we pull two from there, and those are the ones that end up in the bottle pen. But should we tag all the babies, and then there's the records with who the mom is, and then it helps us do management decisions year over year, because even though this isn't really a meat operation in terms of, you know, most commercial livestock, you're looking for pounds gained that you can market. In commercial farming, you're looking for bushels or pounds, or, you know, pounds of milk, whatever. For us, 85% of our gross receipts come from our grazing contracts. So a goat that only has a single still makes us money worth their mouth. However, that's a genetic trait that if you have a propensity to have singles, you're going to pass that on to your female offspring. So we keep ones that have twins or higher. So like they're not a candidate to be a replacement female unless they're at least a twin, ideally triplets.
So do you put them down to the farm league if they're a single? Like, what do we do with the ones who can't? They just live out their natural life?
Yeah, we have a buyer that actually comes, and he'll pick up a trailer load at a time. We just give him a call, and then he pays by the pound. So he just runs across the scale and writes us a check, and they more than likely become a taco at some point. But
I thought you just take the boy goat's phones and you swipe left on all them girls. That's what you do.
Yeah, so goat is the most widely consumed protein in the world. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily in the U.S., but we import 1.5 million pounds of goat meat into the U.S. every week. So there's a lot more demand than there is supply. Part of it is goats are about as dissimilar from cattle as you can get. They're more like deer, elk, and antelope. They don't stress well, so you can't feedlot them. Because of that, it makes it hard to have a consistent, stable supply. You can't do, you know, grass-fed and finish and truck them up and down as you know, grass moves north and south during the year, like you can cattle and stuff. So it's a little harder to chase that market. So it's a lot more cyclical, but there's still quite a bit of demand for it. But again, grazing contracts are the you know, preponderance of our business. And so anything, like, we don't keep any males. We bring in outside genetics that way, but we don't buy any outside females anywhere. We raise our own just so that we know their moms were good with getting in and out of the trailer. And, like, changing your diet, I mean, for those people out there that have pets, I'm guessing if they change up what brand or even what, you know, what
variety or whatever
within the brand, they slowly... Yeah. We get on a trailer and we were eating maybe river ground with, you know, tall, lush grasses that they're trying to get rid of a noxious weed in a riparian area that's ecologically sensitive so they can't use sprays or don't want to. And then we go to, you know, the Boise foothills and do a fire berm, and they're eating dry cheatgrass to avoid, you know, the fire risk leading up to 4th of July. So it's tough on them, but we do everything we possibly can to minimize the stress for our animals. And part of that is keeping the ones that keep up in the system. And that has a lot to do with our records, because, you know, you kind of forget, okay, what did this one weigh 6 months ago? Well, we have RFID tags on them. We have a wireless scale and a reader. And so we run across the scale. We can set alerts that if this thing gained or lost more than, you know, 5 or 10%, it'll alert us, makes a different sound. So then we know, hey, this one may need to get kicked to a different herd and have a little more, you know, care and feeding sort of thing. Because if something gains or loses 5 pounds and it's a 170-pound animal, it's not a big deal. If it's a 95-pound animal and it lost 5 pounds, I can probably visually see that one. But there's some technology in the background that also helps us make some of our management decisions, because, you know, the livelihood of our business is our livestock. And so morally and fiscally, we do care about their health, obviously.
I'm glad nobody set an RFID alert on my weight during the pandemic.
Oh my gosh.
Like, whoa, get somebody over there, like, fast.
Kim and Macabika, thank you so much for coming on the show, teaching us all about goats and why and how we could rent them. Stick around if you can. We're going to ask you some questions a little bit later. We'll get you back here.
Boop. Boop. It's I have so many more questions.
It's time for some ads. Hey, you like podcasts? Boop. You can have one. Castos.com is where we get our hosting for our audio podcast. So if you don't like our faces, go get your podcast anywhere you can hear a podcast. Good. Oh. Hey, we don't rent goats, but we have ducks. You go to cbrogan.me/streamyard. You can get you a duck. I mean, sorry, you can have a video show like this one.
Just like this one. Bring your own goat rental owners.
Bring your own goat rental owners. We are sponsored this entire month, it seems, by Presearch. Kate bought a week, and then everybody else seemed to buy a week. Presearch.com is a different kind of search engine. It's decentralized. It is Web 3.0 technology. Protect your privacy. Get some crypto rewards. Make sure that search monopoly goes away. They don't get Park Place, not with Presearch on the job. Hey, want a .online domain?
goats.online.
Yeah, you can get goats.online. Cbrogan.me.online, you get this for $1 for the first year. Just use the code Chris in all caps.
Look who's here. Steve Garfield from Steve Garfield.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's probably good in the sort of... Oh, there we go. It's probably good in the stretch it out version too, because Amber ran away. But we got her now. We're ready. All right. So remember, go to rally.io and then set up a Rally account. Make sure you message our dear Carrie with the secret code GOATS.
GOATS. And we will send you some backpack coin, right, which is also known as money.
So now we've gone from renting goats to animal-free everything. So we're going to talk about vegan beauty. Amber Rose, welcome to the Backpack Show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
We were worried you went away back there, and we're like, we're just going to have to talk goats the whole time.
We lost her. No. That's something my teeth. I had to get it out.
Oh, me too, but I didn't get it out.
Yeah, when you're in beauty, right, heavy is the head that wears the crown. You're like, you own the beauty business. You got to look good all the time.
I can't have stuff in my teeth.
No.
Cannot. That would not work out so well. So did you have beauty businesses before this and then decided to do vegan? Or did you say, this is one way I can help the world, I'm going to launch a vegan beauty product?
Well, I actually have a great story. I worked for a dermatologist in the 90s. And I also worked for a vegan health food store called Mother's Market in the 90s. I make a joke. They never hired me. I never left, which is a real story. I was born and raised a vegetarian. I've never had meat in my life. And my parents' friends opened Mother's Market. So I used to go and hang out at Mother's Market. And I thought, I want to work here. I love this place. And at the same time, I had very bad acne. And so the dermatologist that I worked for made amazing skincare. And I thought it would be amazing to have it at Mother's. And then when I found out all the products were animal tested, they had a lot of animal ingredients, I was highly upset. So I learned at about 15 years old about how bad the skincare industry was, especially in the 90s, and what they were putting in. A lot of whale blubber, a lot of whale parts, which is horrible. And I just found my calling. So I made skincare in my bathroom. It was horrible. I ended up finding out not good. Everyone used to get gifts. I used to make everyone mud masks for Christmas, and I can't imagine what, you know, rashes I must have caused. But I just loved this my whole life, and I was born and raised without any meat. So I couldn't even watch cowboy movies because I was so upset with the horses. And my dad used to say, Amber, it's a movie. I'm like, they don't know that. They're scared. So I've always been a very passionate. I do love the industry I'm in. I always knew I would be in skincare, and I'm glad that I got to be part of this. Now, I used to use the word vegan in my skincare, and I actually took it out in the very beginning. I've been in business. I've been doing skincare 25 years, been in business 20 years. But I actually remember people used to go, oh, honey, I want real skincare. I don't care that it's vegan. I want real skincare. So I actually took the name out. And one day when I was meeting with someone helping me, she goes, wait, this is vegan. This has to be written on there. And this is right before social media got really big. And I go, okay, we'll put it back. People used to actually get like offended that it was vegan. So we put it back. It was the best thing I could have ever done because people were looking. But before it was kind of like, no, I want real stuff. If it doesn't have real. So the cool thing is I've been in my lane a long time. I'm just now getting a lot more recognition. I love being on podcasts. I could talk all day, as you can see. But this is definitely my passion. And the world's waking up. There is more and more natural and vegan skin than ever, and it's so exciting. I tell people I don't want to be the only one. I love that people are making healthy choices. Big companies, big corporations are making serious changes right now, and it's going to help the environment. It's going to help your health. I mean, it's a big deal.
Elizabeth says, "Let's get tacos next time you're in Houston because there's vegan tacos, and they are delicious too."
Oh, I love vegan tacos. I actually found a place in Dallas, and now I got to go to Houston.
There you go. You could just make a tour of it. Make a whole circuit.
Oh, yes, I would love that.
Amber, beauty and beauty influencers, for instance, have changed a great deal over the last bunch of years. There's a lot of good and bad that comes with those people trying to roam in and say, I'm in the influencer world and trying to get all the free samples they could possibly get and that sort of a thing. Have you gone through that? And what's your way of managing that for your brand and business?
You know, I am so lucky. I got some pretty major influencers very young. In the Instagram world, I had so many people telling me I need to get on Instagram in the beginning, and I just didn't listen. I thought I was a Facebook person. So I was very lucky. I had a lot of the girls from the show The Bachelor. I had a lot of housewives from the show The Housewives. I had real, real clients, and they would do things, especially more like The Housewives before Instagram was big, and maybe write my name in a magazine. And it would say, I get facials in Newport Beach from Amber. I mean, it did nothing for me. I mean, that means nothing. It meant something to me and my grandmother, but that's as far as it went. So I remember the first really influencer we had was, her name's Amanda Stanton. I actually went to lunch with her today. She is amazing. But today we actually got to talk because she actually really wants to work with me. She goes, Amber, I get so much free skincare that doesn't work that I actually want to like really work with you guys because people listen to her. This is real. She's been using my skincare for 7 years, and now I'm getting, I don't know what the word would be, like the stamp that I needed, but for so long the influencers were getting free stuff, but it worked. I didn't mind. I mean, if someone, but especially because they use it, it's real. That gets so good when people want me to pay them to do it. It just you can feel it. It's a different energy. So I've never paid an influencer. I've never paid anyone to post me. I've never paid anyone to say anything. I've never paid for reviews. And there's just something I think authentic. It probably will take me a lot longer than these other companies because I found out that's what people are doing. People are paying for all this stuff, and I'm not. I just feel like I have too many real deal things to have to pay. So
Kat says the world's definitely waking up. Thank you for putting better options out there.
Thank you. You know, I think the better options help me. Because I was always doing this. We've always been. And like I said, I just think people thought it was like, oh, this little vegan-y, clean-y, it doesn't work. But what happens is a lot of the science wasn't backing the natural products. And now it is. So we realized that like antioxidants are amazing and peptides. And all these ingredients are actually changing people's skin, your health. I mean, it really affects us. Our skin is the largest organ. It is literally absorbs everything. So what we put on it is so important, what we do to it. And it shows how we live and our lifestyle reflects in our skin. So it's all, we're really into gut health. So I'm very into like, if people have rashes or acne, or most of the time it's internal. You can buy the most expensive cream in the world. It's not going to help it. So there's another layer that's so important to me too.
Amber, what's the best and the worst of having to roll through the old COVID apocalypse? What was, what worked well? What was poopy, and how'd you make it through?
That's such a great question. COVID scared me to pieces, not personally, but for my business. I just happened to sign like $1 million lease. I'm in Corona Del Mar. By the way, I'm a single mom with two kids. They're supposed to be quiet for 1 hour for ice cream. They're not getting their ice cream.
We love kids. Bring them in.
Well, bring them in.
Take a look at their skin.
Buy one, get one free. Yeah. So anyway, so I have, they're in so much trouble right now. I forgot the question. COVID. So
yeah, the good and the bad of going through the whole COVID apocalypse.
And we were so busy and we're so excited. And I made a huge leap the September before COVID. So we kind of moved in November. December was jamming, January, and then February started to get kind of weird. And then, you know, March we were closed. And I don't know, thank my mother's in heaven, whoever helped me upstairs, we started selling enough skincare to make enough for the rent. And I didn't think that was possible. I actually thought I was going to be moving to Texas. I had this little mental note that went, my sister-in-law lives there. If shit hits the fan, I'm moving to Texas. I can start over. I have enough in my head to know what to do. But I really thought my business of 20 years was over. But what I find fascinating is that we actually learned how to sell online, which we weren't doing. I mean, we were doing, but nothing like we are doing now.
Right.
And I started doing home videos and how to do facials at home, things to do at home, tips at home. And it worked. And then we did a little curbside pickup. We have a little, I forgot the name of the doors, but where the top opens and it stays closed. And we were literally, people are coming by and picking it up and we're waving from afar with shields. And it just started kind of like getting this cool buzz and people are lining up and showing up to pick up product. They had nothing else to do. And then facials at home became huge. Skincare is huge. I mean, people, they thought if I'm going to be home, at least I'm going to take care of myself. You know, I thought I was going to like meditate and like work out. I thought when I got back from COVID, I'd be skinny and like no one's going to notice me. It was totally opposite. But what I did do is take time to learn what was missing in the industry that I would never have taken time if COVID didn't happen. So there is a silver lining to like sitting down and having to stay still and figure some shit out, you know?
So Kip had a question, something about vegans being angry, and he wanted to
I don't
know.
Really understand the question.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. So I'm interested in the angry spin in the vegan hater space. So Kip, vegans angry or people angry about vegans?
We don't have.
Oh, maybe because originally people didn't want vegan skincare, like they wanted.
Okay, so anger would definitely not be the word, but people associated vegan with not being strong enough for skincare. I don't know if that was a question, but people thought vegan was kind of what would the word
like be? A light version or something?
Yeah, like just not scientifically proven, not doesn't have any of that oomph to it, like the stuff in the department stores. They thought the stuff the department stores are like. They don't, it's all sales. There's like zero of anything in those products. So, and I found it fascinating that these natural products were so good, maybe not for acne, but especially for dry skin. And there's so many like amazing things out there that so many little companies that went out of business because people just didn't get them, but they were the real deal. I mean, roses are amazing. They were handpicked and they were made in Germany and just these beautiful lines that they would kill right now. I wish I could. And now they have mini fridges. My kids are in so much trouble.
Just bring them in.
It's supposed to be outside. Now they have mini fridges for skincare, which we're working on. We're testing a couple different fridges, but these companies would go really natural skincare lines used to go moldy really fast, and people would return it and get mad. That was a big problem. I remember a line that I love called Jeremy Rose. They were around only like 5-10 years, and they went out of business because everyone was returning. But nowadays we have little fridges, and I'm like, I wish that company can come back and we can get them a little fridge. I'm like, I fixed it, Jeremy. I don't know who she is. She's from Germany. I'm like, I got it now.
Buy the brand.
Yeah, there's all these. I work with a couple of people who really make beautiful. There's a girl named Krista. She's in New Mexico. Makes these beautiful products. She's a distiller, but they can't be made for the masses, right? So there's this balance. It's like I want things. It's almost like soup, right? So if someone makes canned soup, there's pretty much no nutrition. It's pretty much dead by then versus like a fresh soup that I can make. But when I make it for too many people, it just loses. So I have this like sweet spot that I want really good skincare, but I don't have to be in, you know, every Target. I don't have to be. And that's okay because these companies at Target and Walmart are really cleaning up their act. So I'm just kind of finding my sweet space in the industry.
So Amber, a couple questions here. Janice wants to know, she has to be careful about what's on her skin due to discoid lupus. And then Elizabeth said, and I've got Lyme disease or had Lyme disease. What do we know about that?
That's very interesting. So those autoimmune disease, skincare actually really affects those. And you want really clean products. It really can. There's so many layers. But Lyme's disease. God, that's stuff I can't say on air. But there's some really cool holistic things out there. I will tell you, one of them is called a Rife machine. You could look it up. It's really not much in America, but there's some amazing. So I'm also part of, I'm very lucky. I'm part of, I was with a group. It's called the Susan Samueli Center for Integrative Medicine. Very long name. The Samuelis actually own the Ducks, the hockey team, the Ducks. They're one of my first clients. And they are funding huge holistic studies on health. They just gave like $200 million to UCI. They have a center at UCLA. Henry owned Broadcom. A lot of people know the microchip. But they're actually giving back a lot, and they're doing a lot of studies. Well, I'm so lucky because I was a board member. I'm getting to hear a lot of the studies they did from blueberries to green tea. And I'm learning what's good. Light therapy, which we have a doctor from the Samueli Center actually was telling me what brands they were studying that are good and worth the money. So I kind of have a little in. And all these autoimmune things are like nutrition's like 90% of them. And so I don't know, I'm probably going a little too deep, but there's something called epigenetics. So it's our, have you guys heard that word before?
Epigenetics? No.
Okay. Epigenetics is fascinating. It's, we're all made in our grandmother, right? So your eggs were made when your mother was inside her mother.
Oh my God. And,
right? There we go. So whatever your grandmother was going through actually affects you to this day, emotionally, mentally, physically. But this is also, so they're finding a lot of diseases are passed down. And think of them like little piano keys. When you hit that key, that marker was damaged. So what you do will affect it. So if your grandmother was a smoker, but she was fine. But guess what? Because her grandmother wasn't. So people go, well, everyone smokes, they're all fine. But what happens is it actually damages that gene, which can be repaired. Well, so a lot of the things that people have are epigenetically. So if they want to, you can literally, when you get your genetics tested, like 23andMe, you could take this and get it coded in red and find out how to so anything.
But what if, can I become a Mormon and that like cleans the slate all the way back?
There you go. Yep, that will help.
Don't you do comedy, Amber? I remember you saying something about that.
I do. So my mother was a comedian. My mother, her name was Cindy Burns. She was very funny. She produced comedy shows. And my mother, this is real, my mother was actually anorexic bulimic. Oh. And I make a joke that thank God I beat that. So we used to binge together. She just never told me to purge. So I had a tiny mom. My mom was 4'11" and 90 pounds. I'm 200 pounds. I'm a bigger girl. I'm like double. We look like the number 10 walking down the street. And so we just never, I couldn't believe people used to, the funniest part was sometimes she'd introduce me as her daughter and people would laugh. I was like, that's not the joke. My gosh. That's not the joke. I really am her daughter. We just are shaped differently. I look like her, but so after my mom passed away, I decided to do some comedy about, I'm in Newport Beach. I'm actually in the skinniest place in America and I'm plus size. So there's so much humor there. You can't, and then I'm a single mom with two kids. I'm like, guys, line up, you know, I have my uncle in the basement, two kids and plus size in Newport. Slim pickings on dating for me. But the good news is, thank God I'm busy with my business. But I do comedy. I enjoy it very much.
Couldn't tell. I get, you know, that it comes from your mom's experience. Your mom had a business like that. You know, how could you not want to dabble in it? Writing it is not the easiest thing in the whole wide universe. How do you come across your material? And, you know, knowing that it's basically everyone's answer to that is, well, you know, stuff I see in my life. How do you know the joke's ready to be a good joke?
I can't stop laughing. I mean, I write jokes. This is probably way too inappropriate for the show, but there's so, my life is my kids give me so much material. Like as a big girl the other day, I was wearing a dress. This is so random. I can't believe I'm saying it here. And my son goes, are you wearing underwear? I go, who cares? Like no one can, my thighs are so big. Okay. No one's going to see any, even if the whole dress blew up, you're not going to see anything. You're fine. So I think of like these scenarios that my kids give me. The other day, my son goes, Mom, when did you get a tattoo on your leg? I'm like, what? She's, it was a spider vein, you know? So it's like, I said, yes, I got worms tattooed across my thighs. It's the new look. But every single day I have something. And so when something almost offends you, that's where the comedy is.
It's a sweet spot. Huh?
So where it's like all the moms who have, you know, tattoos of worms on their legs, they'll get it, you know? And it's the things that people don't, that maybe make you uncomfortable. I mean, I went to lunch with Amanda. I turn, I'm big. We're in this fancy restaurant called Gulfstream. I mean, the aisle's this big, okay? I'm sorry that I knocked over someone's drink and everything went bashing on the floor. you shouldn't try to squeeze me through the skinny set. You know, you take the bigger girl around the restaurant. But that happened today. And I turned around. I went, ta-da. That was my trick of the day.
They should stop it's making like, those butt funnels with the yeah, railings like, that like.
Let me, I mean, how am I supposed to so squeeze close. Through this, bitch? Like, I am not that tiny. So, so as things get thrown my way, which they do all day long, you know, you find the humor in them. My mom actually worked with Joan Rivers, and she was hilarious. And Joan Rivers was telling my mom a story when her husband died. He committed suicide. I don't know if you guys know much about it.
Right.
It was pretty serious. There's no humor in that. How do you find humor in someone committing suicide? And a few, they had reservations to a fancy schmancy place a couple of days after he died. And of course, he committed suicide. They didn't know it was coming. And Joan goes, you know what, Melissa, let's go. We're going to go. We're going to dress up and we're going to let everyone know we're okay. We're going to show up. So they got to the restaurant. They sit down and they hand them the menu. And Joan leans over to her daughter and she goes, if your father sees these prices, he would kill himself all over again. Oh. And they started laughing. And so that's that story
my gosh.
Made me realize, like, you can make anything funny if you just, but how do you make, you know, my mom had cancer and she would make cancer jokes and they were brilliant, but it's not, it's, you have to be in that place to get there. If you try too hard, if it's not real, it's not funny.
No, I'm with you on that. Listen, everybody who does not go backstage, and we have that as a new offer for Backpack fans and audience, you can come backstage and see what's going on. You missed an entire experience watching Kim and Matt change the entire setting, run around the entire farm, collect
get
goats.
Him to show us some goats.
And we're talking to Amber. We had this whole goat, you know, watch this. Look.
Hey. Like
another whole part of the place. There's an animal handy. Look.
Yay.
That's the very famous 137.
we call this one baby taco.
Right.
A lot of them get named on jobs. The tough part is when we go to a grazing contract job at an HOA or private residence and they name it. And then the next year we come back, it's like, well, that would have been was Spotty at this job, but it was Oreo at another job. And so I'm like, oh yeah, look, there's Oreo. And they're like, no, that's Spotty. I'm like, the other girl, the other job named it Spotty. I don't know. So
that's funny.
Some of them do. I'd say maybe 15% or so of our breeding herd at least has them because they have very unique and very pronounced personalities.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, this one seems really funny.
He's like, what is going on? Why am I out here? I don't understand.
Did I do something wrong or right? That's what I don't
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, he's probably about a month old right now. So he's just a little tyke.
So they're the ones that jump up and dance around on the mom's back.
Yeah.
That's cool. Nice job. Taco.
Can you teach him to do anything like that you want him to do besides get in and out of this big silver machine?
That's pretty much the extent of what I want them to do. It's a feat to have one guy by himself load, you know, 180, 200 goats in a trailer on the side of a freeway.
Yeah.
We do a lot of jobs, and I mean, I'm 10 foot or less from people going 65, 70 miles an hour. So there's a lot of responsibility placed on stay where I tell you to stay. And part of when you said, you know, how do they get on the trailer? Are they really hungry? It's not that they're really hungry, but timing is, luckily I do logistics in my other job. Timing is a really big thing because if you move them 4 or 6 hours too early, the job's not done, mm-hmm. but they just kind of eat at a continuous rate.
Yep.
And then they just have this, you know, it's this trust relationship we have built with our herd that don't worry, you're not going to get hungry, but I need you to eat to the very last second. And then I show up at the trailer and you jump on and you go to the next place and you just eat there. So
eat more things
wow.
there.
Yeah.
That's your whole job is to eat, Amber.
Yeah, yeah.
I would like to be a goat
for a living.
In my yeah, next put me life, in.
I would like to be a goat at your farm.
Put in my application.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you that question. You know, born and raised vegetarian, vegan now. Vegans have their, you know, they have different ways of handling the conversation with different people about different parts of it.
Yeah.
You know, some people have certain allowances they make. Other people have different whatnot. In my mind, cat's a goat. In my mind, you know, it's hard for me to find a whole lot of things to poke at with what Kim and Matt have done, just sort of by the nature of it all. They've got pretty good housing. They've got pretty good food. They are being asked to do a job that they didn't ask to do, but my gosh, I can't imagine a goat not wanting to go out and eat really good feed from all over.
Yeah, I was going to say, if there has to be an animal, that's why I said I told them this is great, because I have people who are radical animal people. This is actually something cool. The goats are taken care of. You know, they get to go and eat at different places, I would totally sign up for this gig, just to let you know. So,
well, thank you.
These goats out here are bottle fed. These are little bottle fed baby goats.
So you love it, little goat babies.
As you were, as I was walking around, you were seeing, so the 45 days a year that we don't do contract grazing jobs, we're right at the tail end of it. We have our big working day this Saturday. So we'll have a, you know, touch point with each individual goat at least once on this Saturday. We have a bunch of family and friends that come out and help us. And then we'll go out on our contract grazing jobs. But so the year prior, in like July, August timeframe, I do a lot of cover crop seeding. So it's 18 to 22 varieties of different plant species. And the whole goal of that, and the 50 acres around here that we manage just for our kidding season, is all about, you know, health and nutrition. So most goats herds get moved every day during this period. And so they're always constantly getting new fresh feed. And then some of the stuff that Amber was hitting on about genetic expression and stuff, that's a really big reason why we keep the goats that we keep in our herd. And then we bring in outside genetics through the males. Just, you know, you got to keep on, you know, bringing new genetics. But a lot of that genetic expression has to do with what they were eating when their moms were giving them colostrum when they were first born. What were they eating while their moms were releasing eggs to get bred? So there's so much science behind it. It's not just like, oh, put them in an area and have them eat it. And so the balance we have to strike is, for our clients, we're managing property. We're taking it from point A to point B. And, you know, you have resource constraints that could be time, because they want to get their desired end state faster. That could be water. It's harder for us to get a cover crop or a beneficial crop established, you know, because really there's no such thing as weeds. There's just expressions from nature of what's going to happen. And so if you have too much moisture or too little moisture, if the ground is too compact or, you know, too fluffy, whatever, you know, there's an imbalance. And monocultures never exist in nature. Like native prairie in the Midwest, true native stuff would have 300 to 500 species per acre. So everyone thinks of them as grasslands, and that's what you kind of saw visually, but that was less than 25% of the makeup of it. So there's little forbs and there's little flowers and all these different things. And that's where the pollinator habitat was. And that's where the nutrition was. And that symbiotic relationship that's feeding the biome in the ground then expresses itself through nutrition and nutritionally dense feed, not just volumes of feed. And unfortunately, a lot of stuff in commercial ag and in production agriculture has gone to, we're talking pounds, we're talking bushels, we're talking hundredweights. We don't really care as much about the density. And so that's the one thing that we can do with our goats, is the 45 days that we don't move them at all during kidding, we have very good feed for them. And then we're in the process of moving these next couple weeks. We just picked up 46 acres in a neighboring town, and we've got a really diverse cover crop mix. Mm-hmm. One field, 21 acres, is planted for weaning, and another one is going to be planted for late August. And so it gives our goats opportunities to come home for a week and get some body condition back on, and kind of build up some reserves and go back out.
This turned into like we had a couple really deep moments in this episode. I was not really expecting.
Learning about animal husbandry.
Yeah. No, really.
The system was great.
Years ago was a high power microscope, because I nerd out and look at soil microbiology and said,
no, but I mean, like, learning about genetic soil expression and, you know, how taking care of goats, and then like, even we just went all kinds of places I never expected, and I love it. I'm here for it.
Well, we have eaten up all the points on our time, so I'm going to hit a button right here.
Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
Who's going to be our person of the day? You know what? I'm going to give it to Elizabeth. I liked the idea of getting tacos, and I like that she switched to vegan tacos when it came time for Amber. So, Elizabeth, you are entitled some backpack coins. Just give us your rally account. We'll get you those coins. All right. Here's a question we ask every guest that's ever been on the show. Sir Mix-a-Lot, Sister Ann Flanagan, and everybody in between, what goes in your backpack? This could be something physical, like a hammer. It could be something metaphorical, like hope for the future. Carrie, what's a good physical thing someone could put in their backpack?
Extra set of teeth.
And what is something metaphorical someone could put in their backpack?
Kindness, maybe?
Oh, kindness sounds good. I think kindness is a really important one. Whew, that's good. Well, I'm going to start with Amber Rose. What goes in your backpack?
Unmute Amber.
I can't, because she muted herself. Oh.
Well, maybe start with the GoPro.
There we go.
Oh, there we go. We did it.
I was I was trying to yell at my kids under my breath. I didn't know if you guys could hear me, and I was.
No, I very much wanted to. It's disappointing.
My kids have been screaming. They are so really? Not getting candy right now. I would say mine is going to be something physical. I would say sunscreen.
Oh, sunscreen. Trying to think of that song. Always wear sunscreen at the very end of it.
Yeah, Kim, but trust me on the sunscreen.
Gabika, what is the story? What are we going to put in this backpack, physical or metaphorical?
Probably more physical. The data and record keeping capabilities is a huge thing for us because it plays into a lot of the decisions we make and history and future. So, yeah.
So I'm all out of show, but I do want to make one quick comment instead of a question, which is it's always funny whenever we talk to farming people, we talk to an almond grower who started an almond yogurt and all that. We have in our head sort of this old McDonald, you know, you guys are a bunch of hicks, you know, you don't know anything.
Don't know what a good computer is.
Yeah.
Have you seen one of these yet? You know, but that's not how it works. Like you're like very advanced. I just saw, by the way, someone who wants to put you out of business, a robot weed picker. And I can't remember how fast it is, but it's ridiculously fast and crazy, but it's a robot, you know, and it rolls out in the field and gets
100,000 weeds an hour with the laser, that one.
That's the one. See,
nobody's going to name it.
But you know what? I'd rather rent a goat than a giant laser unless I could use it for other weaponry.
Nobody give him a laser, please.
I will tell you this, that my grandmother went to a spa when she was young. Now, what's kind of interesting about this is it was a spa that offered goat products for you to connect with. So it wasn't a vegan spa. But one of the things that they gave her to put her hands in turned out it wasn't really part of the spa experience. It was...